Hi, and welcome to Talking Politics on KBIA. I'm Kate Grumke. Right now in Missouri, if you want to see your state senator's state emails, you can't get those records. Now, there's a bill in the State House that is working to change that. But first, if you've been walking in downtown Columbia lately, chances are you've run into a peppy person with a clipboard asking you if you're a registered voter and are willing to sign a petition. That's because the deadline to get a measure on the ballot is quickly approaching. Although it is fairly easy for Missourians to file a petition, it is hard for them to get the issue on the ballot. KBIA's Justin Paprocki tells us why it's so difficult.
Hey man, do you mind helping me out real quick? I'm trying to get signatures for a petition.
Petition season is here. Petition initiatives touching on 19 different issues are circulating right now to get on the ballot in November. They range from early voting to eliminating teacher tenure. Signature gatherers are out, clipboards in hand, to get the thousands of signatures necessary by May 4th. The catch is this. Most of these initiatives won't make it on the ballot. Travis Brown, the president of Let Voters Decide, a Missouri Political Action Committee, has worked on both successful and unsuccessful campaigns.
It's quite an arduous process to do from start to finish. Most voters in Missouri do not understand, all the prerequisites of that process.
Petitioning the government is a constitutional right. Anyone with a passion about an issue can file the necessary paperwork with the Secretary of State's office and wait for approval from several government agencies. From there, it gets tough. In 2010, petitions were circulated on 14 different issues in Missouri. However, only three of those made the ballot. Those hoping for a spot on the ballot this year need at least 98,000 signatures from eligible voters. That takes time, money, and manpower.
So this is just a petition showing, public interest, so it's not actually voting.
Mark Alvarez works for a Missouri Early Voting Fund. He's paid $60 a day collecting signatures for the Missouri Early Voting Initiative. You'll find him at the Columbia Post Office, the library, or roaming the downtown streets asking if you're a registered voter. He's done his job if he gets six signatures an hour. That may seem low, but he says that's about what he gets.
I'd say it's pretty hard. Only like one out of maybe 20 people actually want to sign. Either they are too busy or they just say we're not interested.
Without enough signatures, initiatives die. Aaron Mallon is the executive director of Equality Missouri. His organization wanted to place a measure on the ballot to expand the state definition of discrimination to include sexual orientation. After a year of work, Mallon says the team of volunteers collected between 5,000 and 10,000 valid signatures. The group decided to halt its drive in January. Among other issues, Mallon says it couldn't reach the threshold by the deadline. It's hard to get on the ballot, but money can make it a whole lot easier. Mallon says if his group had more money, it could have rented office space and filled it with a team of paid employees to collect signatures, notarize them, and organize the campaign.
I'm certainly not trying to make excuses or anything like that. As a citizen in a democracy, it certainly bothers me when one person can write a check and put any issue they would like on the ballot.
Brown of Let Voters Decide says the cheapest successful campaign he worked on was an initiative to give the control of the St. Louis police force back to the city in 2012. From start to finish, that cost $2 million. Brown says the main issue early in the campaign is finding people who can dedicate the time and energy to collect signatures. Most of the time, those people aren't volunteers.
You're fighting the elements of weather, you're fighting the elements of time, and the outreach necessary to reach over 200,000 Missourians. That process alone takes 4 to 6 months of hard professional work.
Mallon says Equality Missouri is considering whether to try again in 2016.
It was frustrating in a sense, but I know that something came out of it. I think the conversations were probably the most valuable thing that happened. If nothing else, 5 or 10,000 people have had face-to-face conversations about the importance of the issue.
All right, thanks a lot. Sure. Have a nice day. Enjoy the library.
As for the other campaigns, if they get the signatures collected and if they're approved, then the real work begins, actually convincing people to vote for them in the fall, which means more time, more effort, and, of course, more money. With producers Helen Tian and Gabriel Jefferson, Justin Paprocki, KBIA News.
Missouri's Open Records Law, or the Sunshine Law, applies to the Missouri House and Senate, as it does to all public governmental bodies. But the law won't help you if you're trying to get records from individual lawmakers, say, email correspondence from your state senator. There's a bill working its way through the House right now that aims to change that. Similar legislation was put to a vote about 5 years ago, but it was narrowly defeated in the House. Jake Zimmerman was the Democratic representative who sponsored that legislation. KBIA's Katarina Sestarek asked Zimmerman why he believes the Sunshine Law should apply to individual legislators.
The Missouri Sunshine Law says that records created by your government, paid for with your tax dollars, are public record unless there's a very specific reason for them to be kept private, and that the taxpayers and citizens have a right to know what's in those records and have a right to be able to see them. And my attitude is that the legislature is part of the state government, just like the executive branch and everybody else is. And unless there's a clear and specific reason why records should be withheld, I think the public has a right to know and a right to be able to see them.
Can you give some examples of the types of records and documents that would become newly available if this type of legislation were to pass?
Correspondence from advocates for and against legislation, documents provided to legislators by lobbyists or by advocacy groups. Those are the sorts of records that I think the public has a right to see and a right to know about, and that people shouldn't be able to hide behind a legalistic shield to avoid giving out.
So can you talk a little bit about the experience of trying to get that bill passed and maybe some of the main points of debate for and against?
Well, I don't think there's any really good substantive argument against it, other than that members of the legislature just plain don't want to follow the Sunshine Law. But because lots of people don't want to have to follow the same rules as everybody else, I didn't meet with a lot of enthusiasm, especially from members on the other side of the aisle, for passing the bill. But, you know, when I offered it as an amendment on the floor and people were actually forced to vote on it, a whole bunch of people voted yes. And in fact, I can recall the Speaker of the House frantically whipping votes to make sure that the amendment was defeated by one vote because he was scared to see it become law.
And then just one of the arguments that's been brought up against this type of legislation is that it would have a chilling effect on constituents contacting their representatives. What do you think about that?
I don't think there's a chilling effect on constituents contacting the Department of Senior Services to raise complaints about issues with senior facilities in their region. I think that everybody else in government would say that it's better to let the public see what's going on because sunlight is the best disinfectant. And I think that standard applies to the legislature just as it applies to the executive branch.
That was KBIA's Katarina Sestark talking to former Democratic State Representative Jake Zimmerman. And that's it for Talking Politics this week. I'm Kate Grumke. Thanks for listening.